From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Judges. The opening verses of chapter 6 recount God's raising up of Gideon at a time when Israel was in bondage to the Midianites. In response to the cries of Israel, God first sent a prophet to call them back to himself. From verses 11 through 35 of the chapter, we see that revival usually begins with one believer, or sometimes a small group, who spend extended and earnest time in personal communion with God, and in this case, it was Gideon. The passage reveals that the first battle must be against the foe within. Israel was sunk in Baal worship, and it had begun with Gideon's own father, who had built an altar to that heathen god. Gideon's first assignment from God was to tear down that altar and to build an altar to the true and living God. Of course, that act aroused the opposition of the enemy. As soon as the people of God begin to seek the Lord in earnest, the armies of Satan will retaliate. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled Institution of Revival. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled God's Multiplication Table. The text is Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Works for the Lord often begin on a small scale. They are none the worse for this. Feebleness educates faith, brings God near, and wins glory for his name. Prize promises of increase. Mustard seed is the smallest among seeds, and yet it becomes a tree-like plant with branches which lodge the birds of heaven. We may begin with one, and that a little one, and yet it will become a thousand. The Lord is great at the multiplication table. How often did he say to his lone servant, I will multiply thee. Trust in the Lord, ye ones and twos, for he will be in the midst of you if you are gathered in his name. A small one. What can be more despicable in the eyes of those who count heads and weigh forces? Yet this is the nucleus of a great nation. Only one star shines out at first in the evening, but soon the sky is crowded with countless lights. Nor need we think the prospect of increase to be remote, for the promise is, I, Jehovah, will hasten it in his time. There will be no premature haste, like that which we see at excited meetings. It will be all in due time, but yet there will be no delay. When the Lord hastens, his speed is glorious.
Obedience means sacrifice that seems my pride and ruined hopes in fallen dreams have crumbled me inside. It's then my grace I finally see, the strength of Jesus Christ. His victory is real in me when weakness fills my life. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I have, and I place my trust in Him, that's when His strength begins. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I am, and I place my trust in Him, that's when His strength.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Thank you. You have the tragedy today of preachers who are preaching everything except preaching Christ. There is no preaching on the incarnation. Let me tell you, at this Christmas season, you will find 1,000, and I think I'm being very, very conservative in my figures here, you'll find 1,000 sentimental little diatribes on the baby in Bethlehem for every message that has any solid exaltation of the person, the work, the glory, the merit of Jesus Christ. You could travel far before you get even a preacher who seems to have any inkling of the mystery, the miracle, and the marvel of the incarnation. And when it comes to relating the incarnation to our salvation, there seems to be no idea. You see, the altar of Calvary has been knocked down, and the altar of Baal has been built up. The first battle is for the battle for purity of worship and the primacy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That was Gideon's battle, and that is our battle. In that battle, Gideon had to stand alone in the first instance. It's never a popular thing to be a true biblical separatist. You find that if you are, you're going to run into trouble on every hand. Separatists will be against you. Compromisers will be against you. Romanists will be against you. Protestants will be against you. Presbyterians will be against you. Baptists will be against you. I was very glad when they announced those war games that they said they were leaving the church to have their war games. You can fight anybody else's church, but keep the war away, that kind of a war, because we will have enough war when you take that lonely stand. But Gideon had a duty, and so do we, and that is the duty of obeying our God. And you leave the results to the Lord. You obey Him and let Him do His work. The wonderful thing is that when you set out to destroy Baal's altar and rebuild the true altar, the Lord will bless the stand. Do you notice the first convert Gideon had was Joash, his father? The old rascal who had built the altar was the first one to the new altar. Gideon had this seal of God when his father was delivered by his lonely stand. Now, the Church of Christ, as the commencement of the battle with the foe within, let me just bring it down to a congregational level. This church has to start the battle with the enemy on the inside. We need never fear what the devil will do from the outside. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is impervious to any attack from without, so long as it has dealt with the enemy on the inside. This church, as a local congregation, must fight the battle against the devil in our midst. Man, how the devil loves to get among God's people. There is a bitterness, there's a criticism, there's a divisiveness. Then there is a slackening off in prayer. There is a getting used to the holy things. There's a levity about the things of God. There's a losing of interest. Until everything just begins to slide. We do all the same things. We say all the same things. We go through all the same mechanics and all the same motions, like the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. The most orthodox, the most energetic. But yet the Lord says, you have left your first love. The enemy eating away at the vitals of a good church from the inside. My, we need to fight the battle within. And of course, what's true of the individual church is true of the individual Christian. If you're ever going to do anything for God, do not dream of being a great preacher, or a great missionary, or a great soul winner, or a great witness, or a great anything that deals with the enemy outside, until, like Gideon, you have got alone with God, and you have learned to deal with the enemy on the inside. That's where you start. When the enemy on the inside was dealt with, you look at verse 33, and you find the battle continued against the enemy on the outside. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. As soon as you deal with the enemy on the inside, you're going to be challenged. Now let's learn this. There's an inviolable rule here. The devil really never changes much in his tactics. That's why you don't really need to run around reading all this modern literature on demonism and Satanism and New Age and all the rest of it. There's far, far too much promotion of the devil in the Christian church. I would say that if God's people knew their God, they would have no difficulty dealing with any of the cults or any of the New Age groups or anybody else if they knew their God. It may well be a place for you to know where the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong so that you can hammer that point, or the Christadelphians are wrong, or the Mormons are wrong. But when you get down to what most Christians and most churches are doing now, and you're studying more about the devil than you're studying about Christ, there's something wrong with your head, and I'm being very frank with you there, and there's something wrong with your heart. Now, I'm willing to stand over that. There's something wrong with your head if you're studying more about the devil than you're studying about the Lord. Paul told the Corinthians, you are not ignorant of the devil's devices, and they had never read a book about Satan. You don't need to read a book about Satan. You need to read this book. You need to be submerged in this book. You need to be gripped by this book. You need to know the God of this book. You need to love the Christ of this book. And I want to tell you, you'll not need any fool to come and tell you, oh, that's the devil. He was standing in your way as big as a lion, roaring with all his fury. You'll face the devil all right when you really get right with God. No doubt about that. The rule will never be broken. Satan never deviates from this. When a man gets right on the inside, when the man of God fights the battle of the inward man and the victory is won, then he's going to face the devil from the outside. Undoubtedly, the Midianites will gather. Now, of course, the Midianites had been there all along. The trouble was that they had been having it all their own way. That's exactly the way we have it in our church life today. The Midianites are there. We hear so much about the humanists. I've mentioned the New Agers. Don't get too worried about all these terms, because it's still the same old crew of the devil. Doesn't matter what you call them, they've always been there. They always will be there. Trouble is, they have been having things their own way. What's wrong in America? What's wrong in Britain? What's wrong in Ireland? I'll tell you what's wrong. Let me take an example of what I'm talking about here. You go out to a mall nowadays. My wife will tell you, I love to go to malls. One of the great pleasures of life is to go shopping. Oh, dear. I don't know what way the genetic structure of women has got together, but the bug of shopping somehow got in there. But you ever notice when you go, the sodomites seem to be crawling out of the woodwork. Do you ever notice that? Everywhere you go, you've got that pansy bunch of no goods. They're everywhere. I remember some time ago, I took Joan out, I don't know if it was for her, was it your 21st birthday? They went to a very prominent restaurant in town for lunch. And this black fellow who thought he was the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe was waltzing up and down. And I said to Joan, I said, I want to tell you, if that fellow comes to our table, I'm asking for the manager and I'm telling him I refuse to be served by that thing. And I would. I refuse to be served by that. Joan's prayers were answered and he didn't come to our table. But they're coming out of the woodwork. Everywhere. It's blatant. People wonder, where did they all suddenly come from? Well, most of them were there to start with, and they've made a lot of converts. Forget about all this garbage that they were born that way. They were not born that way, except that they were born in sin. You go back to the Bible and you'll find the answer. When Josiah was having revival and reformation, what was one of the first things he had to do? Deal with the sodomites. That's what he had to do. Don't you see the picture? When apostasy gripped the land, then the moral perversion that the devil wanted to introduce was dead easy. And they were having everything their own way. And they continued to have everything their own way. Until God sent revival. Take the other burning issue. The issue of abortion. They're having it all their own way. Go back to Israel. What happened there? It wasn't a matter of abortion. They had a whole way of doing things that makes the most vicious abortionist look like a saint. They took their children and they made them pass through the fire to Molech. I remember when I went to the ruins of the ancient city of Carthage. There were, along a pathway, there were little urns. I'm sure, if my memory's right, about a half a mile to a mile, every yard or so, there was a little urn by the side of the pathway, both sides lining this place. And what they were the remains of babies who had been passed through the fire to this same God under a slightly different name. And their burnt remains were in those little stone urns to this day. You can go and see them. Can you imagine the people with the law of Moses in their hand? And this is what they were doing. And the prophets of God had to come and deal with the apostasy that was burning the children, the little babes in Israel. The answer came finally when God sent revival. In other words, when the church can't fight the battle on the inside, when the individual Christian can't fight the battle on the inside, when God's people are living corrupt lives, when those who profess grace are making grace a cloak for ungodliness, then the devil has it all his own way. But when God's people get right and they obtain a new power, then the battle lines will be drawn, and then you'll have the head-on collision with the humanists, the abortionists, the sodomites, the new agers, the ecumeniacs, and all the rest of the maniacs. You'll have them there. The lines will be drawn. And we will fight the battle with the enemy without.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.